Welcome to The Current, a podcast produced by We Stand for Energy. We Stand for Energy is a community that supports a reliable, affordable, and sustainable energy future for everyone and is a project of EEI, the Edison Electric Institute, the National Trade Association representing U.S. investor-owned electric companies. My name is Jeff Ostermeyer, Senior Director of Public Affairs at EEI, and I'm your host. Hello, welcome back to The Current Podcast, the podcast for We Stand for Energy. We are joined today by the Executive Director of the National Energy Assistance Directors Association, Mark Wolf. Mark, welcome to the podcast. Thanks for joining us today.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
Well, we're going to just kick off here with ask you a little bit about the National Energy Assistance Directors Association and your role there. You know, tell us a little bit more about the association and who your members are.
Well, the National Energy Assistance Directors Association represents the state directors of the low-income home energy assistance program, or LAHEAP. LAHEAP, as I think maybe many of our listeners know, it's a block grant from the federal government that helps low-income families pay their heating and cooling bills. Now, a block grant is different than a grant and aid program, not to get too technical. The block grants give states far more flexibility than most grant programs do. So states have considerable flexibility in setting the eligibility guidelines as well as the benefit levels.
And so can you explain a little bit more about, you know, the role of a state LIHEAP director and kind of, you know, how they go about administering LIHEAP and talk a little bit more about some of the challenges they're facing in today's climate?
Sure, be glad to. So the way the program works is the federal government or Congress at the beginning determines how much money we'll have. So for example, we have about $6.1 billion this year, and the money is distributed by formula. And the formula used to distribute LAHEAP has unfortunately become extremely complex over the years. So it's quite difficult to predict how much money each state will get. And HHS, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, then they do the analysis of the formula that Congress approved, and then they allocate the money to the states. The money then goes to the state LAHEAP office. The state LAHEAP office then contracts, usually with local nonprofit community action agencies, to sign people up for benefits. The nonprofit local agency then contracts with local utilities to provide the grant money to them as a credit against the bill.
Okay. And so, in today's, you know, inflationary economy, the challenges we're seeing with some higher bills out there today, what are some of the challenges some of these directors are facing now and some of the biggest challenges for your association?
Well, it's been very tough. As you know, the last 2 years, energy prices, home energy prices, have been rising faster than the average rate of inflation. And a lot of that's because of the underlying fuel costs. So, for example, natural gas, until recently, had spiked quite high. And that drove the price of electricity because many utilities use natural gas as a feeder fuel. What that did was overshoot the purchasing power of LAHEAP. So even though we've received more funding from Congress the last 2 years, we still have to deal with the fact that the amount of product that's being purchased has gone up faster. So Congress doesn't appropriate an amount of product as part of the appropriations bill. So in other words, saying that we'll provide enough money to pay for, on average, 40% of the cost of home energy for low-income family. Instead, what they do is appropriate a fixed dollar amount. So when that money's appropriated, we don't know how much we can buy with it because the utilities have to pass on the cost of the underlying fuel. So it makes it very, very difficult to run the program during these very volatile periods of energy pricing. What we're worried about is this, that families that were able to afford the cost of home energy 2 years ago, even 3 years ago when prices were cheaper, can't afford it now. And it's not just the cost of regulated utility fuels, it's also the cost of delivered fuels like heating oil. So where the cost of electricity maybe has gone up by 20% in the last 2 years, heating oil almost doubled in price. So that's putting a lot of pressure on the program. And so states, when they're thinking, okay, what do? We don't have enough money. Often they'll shift money to heating oil first because those dealers have to be paid. They don't have a rate base to work from. So again, if you're, say, a utility in New Hampshire or Maine, this can be very difficult because sometimes what will happen is the state will shift more money to those using heating oil than, say, using electricity to heat their home.
So can you talk a little bit, about how LIHEAP state directors, work directly with, EEI and our member companies and other electric companies out there, to really help customers and help make, raise awareness around this assistance for customers?
Well, as with anything else, because it's a 50-state program, I can give you a number of examples. And the best is states like Wisconsin, for example, they meet regularly with their local utilities to talk about people falling behind, how to target resources. That, to me, is the model. Because utilities are the people that know. Your members know who's falling behind. You might not know their income because there's a lot of data you don't have. So that, I think, is the ideal model, because outreach is tough for us. We only can use 10% of the budget for all administrative costs. So the kinds of outreach that would really help sometimes help the most needy, the most vulnerable, we don't have the money for. And so utilities know who's behind and who's falling, into a more extreme situation, potential shutoff. And so by sharing that information, it helps us target resources. Those are the kinds of examples. Other places, we see less interaction. Sometimes you'll be in a state where you have just so many vendors, it's not possible for the state to organize that. So those are the kinds of things that I think are really important is, constant kind of outreach. If you don't know your state LIHEAP administrator, reach out to them. Sometimes, and I know this is sometimes kind of difficult, sometimes the local agency isn't performing well, or they have lots of other pressures and they're not doing a good job of outreach, or they haven't responded to the local utility, then call the state agency. My sense is that it's not going to put the local agency into an embarrassing position. What we want to see is the program work well. And for our members, sometimes they have three people in the office. They just don't have the resources to do the kind of coordination outreach that would really make a difference. So that's where programs like in Wisconsin, where there's an active, ongoing set of meetings to share information, I think is the best. You see that in Massachusetts as well, and other states, of course, but those are the ones I'm most familiar with.
Yeah, and we've seen companies kind of step up around the country since the start of COVID too to offer additional assistance programs in terms of being able to help customers out who might be falling behind. So do you view that as an important supplement to LIHEAP and something that is helpful for customers?
Oh, exactly. I mean, I think that for the utilities I've talked to, like 10 years ago, when prices were lower, even 5 years ago, the number of people behind on their bills was lower. Energy was just more affordable. And what I've been told, and from the research we've done, the number behind it maybe doubled in the last, 5 or 6 years. And so it's put more pressure on the utilities because, look, at the end of the day, utility is not a social service organization. This is a problem of income and a problem of affordability. And so having said that, the reality in the United States is that we silo all our social service programs. There's a program for food, there's a program for energy, there's a program for health. Rarely to see these programs work together. So for better or worse, some of this responsibility has fallen local utilities. And what they've told me is this. Many of them have tried to work with their customers. They haven't advertised it a lot because they worry that even more people will fall behind. The utilities are put in a very difficult situation during the beginning of the pandemic because of the high number of unemployed people. There were just lots and lots of people who just couldn't afford to pay their bill. And then how do we address that? And then what we learned during the course of the pandemic, Congress provided more money. At the end of the day, this is a problem of a bill. So the enhanced child tax credit, where they made the tax credit fully refundable, when they surveyed lower income families who were receiving the credit, many of them said they were using it to pay their energy and food bills. It wasn't just LIHEAP. That was important money. That ended at the end of December. So that put more pressure on the lower income population. And then core goods like food and rent also went up faster than inflation. So many of the people that your member companies are serving are in worse shape than they were a year ago. They're struggling to pay all basic expenses. And I don't think we've had a period before where food and energy went up faster than inflation at this rate. And so I think when utilities and delivered fuel companies say they're seeing more struggling customers, it's true. And then the other factor that I think is very worrisome, the Census Department does a survey called the Pulse Survey. What it means is they're taking the pulse of the nation. And not just the poorest families, but lower middle class families are reporting that they're struggling to pay basic bills. And one of the factors, and I think this, unfortunately, Congress hasn't fully taken into account when looking at funding LIHEAP, the University of Pennsylvania economic model found that higher income families have been able to replace about two-thirds of their lost income due to inflation. Lower income families, only one-third of their income. So what that means is that a third of the U.S. population, the lowest part of the U.S. population by income, is in worse shape and is struggling to pay their bills. And that shows up in their energy bills. And so LIHEAP is, of course, the federal program that helps to address this need, and it hasn't been funded sufficiently. So we are struggling. And some states are doing more than others. So, for example, New York State is working their utilities to help pay down arrears. You know, I think that the low-income families owe about $1 billion to utilities because they had a very long moratorium period. And so the bills just kept mounting. So what the New York State is doing is providing additional funding for some of their stimulus funds just to help pay those down. California's got a similar problem. And I think that what it shows is that it's not that energy is necessarily more of a burden than it was. It's that the other costs that lower-income families have to pay are becoming more of a burden than they were all at the same time. So for me, I think the bottom line is this, is that we need a new model to help families cover basic expenses, and energy is one of them. And energy is an important part. And the other thing that I've noticed, that because utility service tariffs are not evenly distributed by income, some utilities that have a higher income service territory are better able to handle if, say, 5 or 10% of their population falls behind than a service territory that has a much higher percent of people living in poverty. You could have maybe 25% of the rate base behind. And so I think the message becomes that utilities alone can't solve this problem. This is a federal problem. This is something that needs to be dealt with at the state and federal level, to come up with an equitable solution.
Well, and speaking of which, and speaking of LIHEAP funding, last week we had National LIHEAP Day, where there was a large blitz on Capitol Hill to advocate to lawmakers really about the benefits of LIHEAP and the importance of increasing that funding. Do you want to touch on that and what the folks were asking Congress for last week?
Sure. I think that, you know, local people tell the story much better than I can because they're working with people in need. You know, we're asking Congress for at least this year's funding level to continue, the $6.1 billion, and it's going to be tough. This is going to be a very tough Congress. The Republicans in the House have already said they want to go back to FY22 funding levels, which is not the end of the world, but it would be less money for us. You know, we'd lose about $1 billion, which is kind of essential because we're dealing with families who just don't have the money to pay for basic expenses. And so I think that the message we wanted to make on the Hill is that the money's well spent. For better or worse, they said we only spend 10% on administration for all costs, which has its limitations, but very little of this money goes for admin. Utilities don't charge anything for admin. And I know that many utilities spend a lot on helping to manage their lower income caseload, and they just absorb those costs. And I think the other thing is that at the end of the day, the other solutions that sometimes public service commissions require, you know, extended moratoriums and shutoffs, well, that sounds good in a way. All that does is kick the can down the road. So as you can see in New York State, where maybe a year ago there was maybe $800 million, $700 million in arrears, by the time they ended the moratorium, it was close to $1.5 billion. So that's not the way to address how do we help low-income families. You know, we have to think through ways to address them to make the bill affordable. And I think that's maybe where we're heading towards, is that if $6 billion are received for life this year, if that is the maximum we can get, that won't be enough next year. And I think the problem that, you know, utilities see and that I see is that I don't know what $6 billion will buy in a year. You know, right now, natural gas prices are quite low, but it might not stay that way. So $6 billion might buy enough to help low-income families pay 30% of their utility bill or 20%. And 20% might not be enough. So those are things we worry about, that we have a fixed appropriation to buy a product that has a lot of volatility in its pricing. And the other thing to add is that House committees that appropriate money for LIHEAP are the Labor, Health, and Human Services Committee. This is the only energy program under their jurisdiction. They have no other program that has price volatility like we deal with. So I'm not sure they always understand the problem we're facing because it's not something they normally deal with. So having local people come to meet with their members of Congress is extremely helpful when they say, look, many of the families just have very little money, and the LIHEAP grant that we get now, it helps, but it's not always enough.
Terrific. Well, thank you for the work that you do, and we really appreciate you joining us today on the podcast. We hope that you found this to be an informative 15 minutes, and we look forward to bringing you additional expert insights on energy policy. To learn more about EEI in the electric power industry, visit eei.org. You can subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts by searching for The Current in We Stand for Energy.